praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Some of you that know what that word means, hallelujah is a command to praise God. So that's just not something we say because we don't have anything better to say. But when someone says hallelujah, you praise God, amen? Because God is worthy. How is everyone doing tonight? Are you blessed? Are you ready to be blessed? Are you ready to receive from God? Are you ready to be used by God? Some of us wait till we're in trouble to receive from God and think, well, I'm really in need this time, so God has to bless me. But that's not how it works. If you're not ready for God to use you, then you're not ready to receive anything from God. So you got to realize, usually when God does something for you, He wants to do something with you and through you. It doesn't just stop with you. Amen? So when you come, be ready to receive and be ready to give, because it's all the same. If you stop giving, you'll stop receiving. If you stop receiving, you'll stop giving. If you start giving, you'll start receiving. And if you start receiving, you'll start giving. It's a flow. And when you hinder any of that, you'll start to miss out on what God's got for you. Are you ready to give tonight? Have you heard from God what it is that you should give? This is offering time. This is just an example to you where your heart's at. And if you struggle in this area, especially those of us that have financial difficulty, if we struggle in this area, then we need to realize we just need to let ourselves go. Because I'll tell you what, if you struggle in this area, then you probably struggle in other areas of difficulty where God wants to use you. If you're shy like I am and was, then when God would say, "Say this," I would say, "No, I don't want to say that." Until I realized that it doesn't matter what difficulty I face, I have to obey God. So if you're in financial difficulty, don't let that hinder you from obeying God. Amen? Just step out. That's the biggest thing. Christians just never step out. They're so afraid of what other people will think and missing it that they never just step out and just do what God's called them to do. If you heard the word this morning that you are righteous, then what are you waiting for? You need to obey God today. We might not get it tomorrow. But if you obey God today, you'll obey Him tomorrow. And each day you walk in obedience, that's how much closer you're going to get to Him as you walk with Him. But today is the day of salvation. Today you are righteous. Today you will give an offering. And today you will be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. If you've got your offering ready, get it out. And I've got offering envelopes. If you're giving by cash and would like one, raise your hand. DeMarco, I see you. Use these. Sister Bell, you need one? Pat, can you take these back to her? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to just be in the presence of God? You know, we need to start to get that revelation. David had it, and he didn't want to leave the house of God. That's where his comfort and joy was. He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need to get that revelation, understand what he meant. Just the presence of God is a wonderful place to be. And it's hard when we leave it. But we always want that to abide on us. And even when we're out in the world, you can still dwell in the presence of God. Hallelujah. God wants to bless us tonight. If we'll just open ourselves. If you've got your offering ready, just lift it up. Thank you, Jesus. Just bless God with it. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word, God. And we stand in faith tonight on your word, Lord, that you will withhold no good thing from us who are your children. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We don't have to impress you, Father. We are who you designed us to be. Father, we thank you that right now we can all be blessed. That we don't have to impress you for that scripture to work. That we don't have to be rich in order to be rich, in order to become rich. But Father, even in our situation right now, we can be blessed. And we just speak out against every curse of the enemy that would hold us back from God's blessing. that financial devil, we speak to you right now, and we command you to stop your attack. We call you powerless in the name of Jesus. You lying spirit, we are the blessed of God. We are the blessed of God. He is our Father. If our evil earthly fathers blessed us, how much more is our Heavenly Father going to bless us when we ask? Father, we thank you, Father, that you have provided all of our needs. And Lord, that we don't even want for any good thing, Father, that you've provided even our wants. And we receive those right now by faith. And we claim them and we thank you for them, Father. And we just pull those down in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for that provision in every life here. We just come in agreement and thank you, Father. And we bless you, Father. And whatever it is that you've asked us to do, we step out on faith and do it right now, expecting more, expecting our breakthrough. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may bring your offerings. Thank you.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Just stand right where you are. Why don't you make this declaration?
So that I'm going to get everything from God He wants me to have. Amen. Come on and stand up and do that for me.
Received all there is to receive from God. Anybody? Sometimes we don't believe when people say that God wants to do something because we think He does so much, how could He do more? But unless you feel like you've gotten it all, and I can say no one has, there's more. God wants to do more. Always be willing and ready to receive. And since that God wants to do something tonight, so let's just pray and just open your hearts to what He's doing. Thank you, Father. Yeto so korobosa chikabasala tamati, piyala la boso korobosa, tebesia namasi, koroshukabasantie, selebe sehe korobaha. Thank you, Jesus. We come in line. with your will tonight, Father. We humble ourselves and put our agendas aside, and we submit ourselves to what you're doing, Father. We empty our minds from the cares of this world and the stuff that we're planning to do and the stuff we need to do, and we focus entirely on you, God. Te coro sabasikia, se coro rabalatie, se coro basakachie, e coro rabalarabasie, se moro sobahosantie. We just worship you, Father. Te boro sobaladabasie. We just worship you, God. We praise you, Father, for your glory, God. We praise you, Father, for your power, for your awesome power, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you've been so good to us. Thank you, Father, for manifesting yourself to us. We know that you don't manifest yourself to everybody, and that's a special thing to have you reveal yourself to us, God, the way that you do. We honor your presence, Father. We thank you, Lord. We invite you just to move in this place. We invite your Holy Spirit just to move and fill this place, Father. Let your anointing just fill this place. We offer up ourselves a living sacrifice to you, Father. Robasia ti, holy and acceptable. Seboro sabalatashie. He koro sabati, kororombo solaraba, te amasia. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I would just encourage you to stretch your faith. Don't just go by what you feel, but go by what you know. Expect, and it will happen. Decide that you're going to yield to the presence of God, and it'll happen. We don't have to wait for a feeling. We can step out on faith in accordance with the Word of God, that He does always inhabit the praises of His people. And in His presence there is fullness of joy. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you that as we praise you, that you inhabit the praises that we give. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ultimately, you will have the kind of walk with God that you want. And He's not going to make you do what you don't want to do. You can die falling very short of His will for you and always wondering, but I don't want that. I don't want that for you, and I don't believe that you want that. So we've got to constantly stretch our faith. Step out on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. If you're not believing God for more and walking in that level of faith, you're not pleasing God. Yesterday's accomplishment doesn't matter anymore. Yesterday's leap of faith doesn't matter. It's about today. What are we going to do today? The best time to receive a blessing is right after a blessing. The best time to make a step of faith is right after a step of faith. It's a walk. We walk by faith. We live by faith. Pastor Rod talked about righteousness this morning, and the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Not by just works and worrying about their outward appearance and what people think, but righteous people live by faith. Father, you are Lord of this service, and you are Lord of this church. We surrender everything to you, Father. We yield our minds and our bodies to you completely, Father. Rosa bashi kata basa palada da basiye. Ora tabasiye. Ora suba papatiye. Ora tubosukachiye. Just worship him. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Sukuro, your will be done. Sebo sopatie. Sere si karabasi. Seba ladarmasie. O sebashie. Hala darabasie darabosu. O rosobosie. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hore tipe. Ora tabasia, e capasia. Ora ti proposo patia palata pasia. Thank you, Jesus. Just praise God. Just lift your hands to him. He's worthy. Thank you, Father. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. God, we love you, God. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, you are so wonderful, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Begin to express your love to God. You know, we got to tell God that we love him. It's important to God that we communicate that we love him. He's looking for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you can't love God if it's just lip service and you're not obeying his commandments. Yet, on the other hand, people are out there working to obey his commandments and never expressing their heart to him. But we got to have both. You got to have the action and the expression. Sere sibo sukashie, rosa basie. Father desires an intimate relationship with each and every one of you. Lord, we thank you, God. You are good, Father. We thank you, Father, that where our earthly parents have failed us and our earthly friends have failed us and where even we have failed ourselves, that you have been strong and good to us in every one of those areas, Father. We thank you that you've made all things possible where before they were impossible. You've made us to be the people we could never have been without you. You've caused us to learn to love again when the world kept that from us, Father. When the devil sought to just bottle us up and box us in, Father, you broke those chains and those bondages, and you softened our hearts, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We desire that relationship with you, Father. Rosicashie. Seborosabatie. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just let your presence fill this place, God. Just let your glory fill this place. Se coro subotia da basie, hara tipo suburoshi, robatica sia la mala da basie, rosebishi, ureti babahasi, uretica. We just let go of all fear. Anything that would hold us back, and we go for you with everything, God. We give ourselves completely to you. Unashamed and uninhibited, Father. You are our all in all, and we give you our all, Father. Lord, there's nothing we can do with our lives that you can't do better. We just surrender everything we have to you. And to your plan, and to your guidance. Use us, Father, this year, Father. And in these seasons to come, use us, Father, in a supernatural way. So it's not our desire to live a complacent Christianity. And we recognize that as the plan of the enemy. We recognize that as the plan of the enemy in this area. And we oppose that plan boldly. And we declare that we are children of the King. And that we are totally devoted to God. There's nothing in this life too important. We are those that love not our lives even unto death, if necessary. Lord, where in the last days the hearts of many have grown cold, we oppose that spirit, and we say, soften our hearts, Father. Hekoropikasie. Horasie. Where in the last days it says the people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, we oppose that spirit. Father, we love you more than anything. Nothing can take your place. There is no experience the world has to offer that can come close to the presence of God. We realize that we might look a little strange. Your word even says that we are a strange and peculiar people, and we are not of this world. We are a light to this world, and we surrender to your will. We let go of every fear that tries to cause us to conform to the image of this world, that we defy that image. And we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Your word is your will for our lives. And Lord, we accept that completely and wholeheartedly. We make up our minds tonight that we're going to follow you and your will with no holding back, God. Whether people like it or not, we're going to be the people that you've called. We are a chosen generation. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that Satan's plans have been spoiled and he will not be able to rule this area the way he thought he could. We thank you that in his greatest time of attack, he made his biggest mistake. When he thought he had you defeated, by nailing Jesus to that cross, he made the biggest mistake of his life. That one mistake cost him thousands and thousands of souls to the kingdom of God. And Lord, I thank you that even his attack in this area has been his biggest mistake. And it's costing him, because we're not going to be defeated and we're not going anywhere, but we are standing strong in the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you, your will is accomplished on earth, in the Woodlands, in Nations Church, as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good. Okay, Sikuru Babasi Alabasie. I'm gonna let you go, but before I do, let's see, where is this at? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's around here somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. My Palm Pilot? No, I don't have it. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I think I know where it is. How many of you are enjoying the presence of God? Okay. How many of you want God to be revealed to you? I've had this scripture. Thank you, Pastor Rob. I found it. I was beginning to think maybe that was a dream. How many of you have often wondered why God doesn't show himself to you? We're talking about a lot of things, and this is a different message, but I'm just going to give you this scripture. And I think it ties a lot into everything else. But I want God to reveal himself to me. And I believe you do too. And I know God has revealed himself. And sometimes we question God. But I was talking about love. And I'm going to read to you John 14, verse 22. Pastor Rod just asked me to give you a scripture to close on, and he just said give him the scripture that God's been dealing with you on. So I'm going to do that. Hope it'll help you. I haven't developed any teaching on it, but I've just been it's been going over in my mind, in my heart for the past few days. In fact, Pastor Rod was teaching out of this chapter. Has everybody gotten there? Verse 22, it says, "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Now that's a strange question, isn't it? Now without looking at your Bible, I just want you to think about that. It sounds a little different. Of course, we know that it's God's will that all would be saved. And in fact, the reason that people go to hell is not because God chose for them to go to hell, but it's His will that they all be saved. But there's something to that. Now, all throughout the Bible, Jesus would call people. Now, we know that He operated under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He didn't go out and minister until He went to the desert, to the wilderness, to pray and to fast. And he did it for 40 days. And before he left, he was baptized. And the Holy Spirit came down on him. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And out of that, he got his ministry. So it's important to know that Jesus, even though he is God and was God, that he was here to set an example for us. That he wasn't doing things that He didn't expect us to do. In fact, the Bible says, "Greater works shall you do than these." Jesus himself said that. Anybody remember that scripture? Do you believe it? So that we know that Jesus wasn't playing guessing games. He didn't go around calling people because he liked them. When he called somebody, that was the Holy Ghost. He did what he saw the Father in heaven do. He was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he yielded to God. He didn't just say, "Well, I like you. You're coming with me." And notice that when he called people, now we can say that he had just such a strong charisma and anointing, and he was just so powerful that no one could refuse. But if that were true, what about all the people who did refuse? What about the Pharisees, who, even though he was in front of their face, never stopped talking about him, plotting against him, trying to kill him, and eventually did. Well, they thought they did. So how was it that Jesus was able just to call people and they just followed? And I think this is an interesting scripture, and it's something that we need to work with on in ourselves. And also realize in our ministry, and let me read this to you. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." And that teaching is also words. "My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Now, even Jesus there was saying that he wasn't ministering of his own accord. And even those words weren't his, but they were God's. And this word, this teaching and words in this verse is the word, the Greek word, logos. And Pastor Rod talks about that. That's the thought, the intent of God. That's not just a written word, but that's the intention, the will of God, the thought of God. So loving God means you've got to get in line with His will, with His word, with His thought. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's one thing just to read the Bible and just try to blindly do things that are in the Scripture with no revelation, no understanding. And of course, you're never going to run into trouble if you sincerely follow the Word of God. But we also need to obey the thought and the intent of God for our lives. Amen? How many of you have ever experienced the thought and the intent, the will, the heart of God for your life? I have. Have you? And if you love God, first of all, you can't do that if you don't know it, if you haven't heard it. You got to be in fellowship with God. But if any man loves me, he will obey my teaching or my intention or my word. And I think that's powerful. We want God to do things for people that don't love Him and don't obey Him. People that love this world. And we can do all that we know to do, and it doesn't seem to make a difference. And I believe that we have a lot of people that just don't love God. Yet Jesus called people, He called tax collectors. Jesus called sinners. But yet there was something in them that loved God. They may not have known the answers. They may not have known all that was going on, but there was a love in their heart. And because of that, God manifest Himself. And in dealing with righteousness, as Pastor Rod talked about this morning, and I'm going to be quiet, but in dealing with righteousness, I want to water that word, and I want you to realize that your righteousness is not an outward action. Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. And what is that? Death painted over. Death, you know, with holiness on the outside. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap death and destruction. And the Pharisees were nothing but death with a costume. They were whitewashed. That's not God's will for us. And so many people get hung up on outward stuff, always trying to impress God, that they don't know the thought of God, the intent of God, and they don't feel worthy enough. They don't love God. And it's about works. And we need to break some things over our lives. And we need to realize that it's about a love relationship with Jesus. That's what we're missing. And it's not a soft, sentimental thing. But we need to learn to love God. If we love God, we're going to know His will. We're going to obey His will. And if we mess up, we're going to keep going. How many of you had parents that you knew? Not everybody does. But if you had a parent and a decent relationship with that parent, if you ever made a mistake, but you knew that your parents loved you, did you feel like giving up? Did you feel like, oh boy, you know, I messed up. I got in a fight at school, or I said something I shouldn't have. I talked back to my mom. That's it. I'm out of the family for good. How many of you ever felt that way? Anybody? But we realize how stupid that is. Some of you that are parents realize that, man, your child could do anything, but the only thing you want for that child is to reconcile your relationship, restore what was right. God's not looking to put people out. He's looking for people that love Him. But that walk of love is a bold love, and that word love is agape. It's not just a sentimental feeling, but that's the God kind of love. If we have that kind of love, we're not going to do just what we want to do. We're going to obey the will of God and not be held back by the world. And people that don't love God, it's because they've fallen into the trap of loving this world. There's so many temptations in the world. That scripture came out. Love. We're in the last days. The Bible talks about lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. If you're a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God, then you're not going to see the manifestation of God. God's not going to reveal himself to you. You're going to miss out until you straighten that out. Who's a lover of pleasure? First of all, it's so easy in the last days to be lovers of pleasure, especially in this country, because we're raised on it. I mean, you go to the movies and you can see so much in front of your face. You know, we've all seen so much. Nothing shocks us. Nothing's a big surprise. We love to have our minds stimulated by all sorts of visuals and all sorts of interesting things. And we just, boy, we love it. And we love to indulge and all kinds of stuff. We're raised that way. But if that's what you love, that's what you're going to obey. I don't think that God draws a line between love and obedience. Not just that if we love God, we'll obey God, but if you love pleasure, you're going to obey pleasure. And what is pleasure? Anybody know? Pleasure, not talking about the pleasure we have in God, because God doesn't want us to be miserable, but we're talking about the indulgence of the flesh here. How many of you know what the purpose of that is in our lives? How many of you ever had the devil? Okay, I'll ask you this. How many of you ever sinned? Okay, good. We've got a few honest people. Now, how many of you had the devil walk up to you with a pitchfork and a cape on with fire coming out, asking you if you would like to sin for him today? How many of you ever had that? I'm giving you an opportunity to sin right now. You want to do it? You want to join me? How many of you ever had that? No. So why is it that we sin? The devil uses manipulation to influence us so that he might get us to do what he wants us to do. Just like God influences people, the devil can't make us do things, and he's not going to come as the devil and ask you to do things. But most of the time, he's going to influence you. And that influence happens through the flesh. Listen, if you love the fleshly pleasures of this world, you're going to obey them, which ultimately means you're going to obey the devil. People don't realize that there's no middle ground. They think, well, I'm not an extremist. I'm not out there just going nuts, but I'm not one of these fanatical Christians either. I'm just a normal person. But you're either a lover of God or a lover of pleasure. You're either following after the word of God or you're following in obedience to the pleasures of this world. Now, by no means do I think we're supposed to be miserable. God doesn't say this so that we might be miserable. There is pleasure in knowing God and in serving God. Amen. And I'm not just talking about goosebumps. God wants us to be whole in every area. He doesn't want us poor, broke, miserable, sad, depressed, none of it. And the trick is, if you follow after pleasure, you will be broke. In fact, the Bible says that in Proverbs. I'll find it if you want me to. People that love those things and follow those things don't end up blessed, and they don't end up happy. They don't end up prospered. So we've got to watch out when pleasure tries to cause us to compromise and influence our lives. When God asks you to step out in obedience, you think, okay, I can suffer and obey God, or I can take it easy. Boy, this is the last $10 I have in my purse or in my wallet. I'd sure like to get something good to eat tonight. And man, it's offering time. Do I want to suffer and give it in the offering, or do I want to give into pleasure and just eat something? But how many of you have ever obeyed God and suffered the consequences of it? And were the consequences... And did you end up miserable? Did you end up unhappy? Did you miss a meal? Did your clothes get more worn out? Did you start doing without because you obeyed God? No. The people that really do without are the people whose God is their stomachs and the pleasures of this world. So I've been meditating on the scripture. I didn't have any teaching, so I know it just seemed kind of scattered. But God's not going to manifest himself to everybody. And God's seeking people that love him. Amen. And it's funny, but you can meet people that are in the world that have that love and don't even know it. And it's misdirected, misguided, because they've never heard the truth. And boy, when you bring the gospel to them, they light up and they just go for it. I was raised in church, but I didn't know it all. I was missing out on so much because of, you know, I'm not going to get into any of that. But boy, when I heard more of the truth, I immediately knew it. Amen. And went after it because I love God.
Amen.
Amen? Brother Dean, you haven't been saved for a long time. You were in the world, but you know, when you had a taste, just a little experience of who God was, you realized that you loved God. Amen. That was already there. Now, you didn't know it. And people look for ways to fulfill it, but when there's a love of God in your heart, you're going to respond to the call of God. And some people just don't love God. Some people are so hung up on themselves, and they'll sit in church and try to work it out, but until you make a decision to love God, you're going to miss out. So many people never receive what God has for them because they just don't choose to love God. And ultimately, love is a choice. When we're saved, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts, and that's where it really begins. But there's something in somebody that when the gospel goes forth, they all suddenly hear it and have to make a decision. And ultimately, that decision is to love or to not love. But love is a powerful word. Love is the motivation of what we do. Love causes us to obey God and to see the manifestation of God. And I will end with this. Judas said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" That word world actually is cosmos, which I thought was kind of interesting. We got this whole system around us, and they see the evidence of God, but they don't see God the way we do. Not everyone is going to see God the way you do. Not everyone loves God. But I want to encourage you, love God. Obey His Word. As you do that, not only has God shown Himself to you, but God will show Himself to you. And I want you to have confidence in that. All right? This is not a teaching. I just found a scripture, and I think it's good. I think it's good stuff. We get so confused on all these topics of righteousness and love. But remember this, what you love is what you will obey. We think that we are Lord of our lives, and we aren't. You can either serve God, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, or you can serve the devil, who is the God of this world. But there's a distinction between us and the world. Us, Jesus is Lord of us, the world. Devil is the god of this world. You're in one or the other. You're never just by yourself serving yourself. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. There's no middle road. So as you love God and serve God, I want you to begin to expect to see God in a stronger way. Expect God to manifest Himself to you. When we come to these services, expect God to do something. Don't come with nothing. Don't come with a whatever, let's make it through this service. Come expecting to see God. Because I'll tell you what, we love God, but God loves us. And God wants to do a lot more, especially in this season. We're on the verge of things. We're on the verge of a season that the world hasn't seen before. But God loves us. And the world is going to go through some terrible things. The world is going to experience a lot of difficulty. But we aren't the world. We're not of the world. We are new creatures. And we don't have to suffer that fate. We can know God and experience God in the midst of the storm, the trial, and we can be a light to the world. Jesus spent time hanging around sinners and ministering to them and calling them. And I want you to also realize that God has people in the world around you that He wants you to reach and give them the opportunity to love Him. But we're in a powerful season, and I just want you to realize that and start to obey what you love. And don't hide it. Hey, if you love pleasure, walk in it. Obey it. Don't play a game. You'll just be miserable. Don't try to find a middle road because there's not one. If you're a servant to pleasure, do it with all your heart. But if you love God, serve God with all your heart. Obey God. Resist temptation. Resist the flesh. And do what God told you to do and be blessed. Amen. Is that good? Hallelujah. I know that sometimes teaching can be boring, but there's truth anyway. And I'm not here to just hype you up. I'm not very good at hyping people up. Maybe I'll get better. But I know that God's dealt with me on some things, and I hope that you get that revelation about love. Is there anything, Pastor Rod, you got? I got it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand up. Let's pray. And you know, there's two systems going on. And a lot of us have ties to the other system. I'm not telling you to break those ties. Some of us have to be a part, not of the system, but we have to be out there. We have friends, family, and we got to work. We have several reasons that we are related one way or another to the world system. It's not God's will that we lock ourselves up or hide the light that God's given us out of fear. But we are to walk in this world, but not to be of the world. We are a different breed. But we have ties to this world, and I know that the devil loves to use those things to intimidate us, to pressure us, to constantly remind us that something's wrong with us and we're off. The whole world's just rolling on its own. That's the way things should be, and we're just this little group off to ourselves that think we know it all. And the devil tries to use so many things to convince us that we're wrong and the world's right. But I want to tell you something. None of us are that old. We've been in the United States of America for a short while in times of somewhat peace and prosperity, about as good as it's been. And we're about as distant from the disaster and destruction of the world as we can be. But we will start to lose confidence in this world. And men will start to faint of fear of what's coming on the world. Why? Because they trusted this world. They believed in this world. They saw the news. They saw the government. They saw business. They saw it all flowing. And they saw it as something that couldn't be destroyed or brought down. They thought it was perfect, indestructible. But people are going to start to see the ways of this world coming down. And people will faint from fear of what's coming on the world, because they don't want anything to happen to their little system. But we have something that won't be burned up and consumed with fire. And that's the system of God. God and His Spirit will always be. And we need to learn to walk with boldness in that. And people will see something in you. When things start to happen, and things have already happened, but when things in the world start to go on the decline, people aren't going to know what to do, and the world will need our confidence. The world needs what we have. People are confident in this world, but it's not going to be that way forever. We need to be confident in God. Amen? So let's just pray. Father, we thank You, God, and we just pledge our allegiance to You, to Your Word. Father, we declare publicly that we love You, God, that we aren't lovers of pleasure and we aren't servants of this world, but we are Your servants, God. We are of Your kingdom. We are aliens to this world, and we are not of this world. We're not conformed to that image of the world, which is bondage, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds to who You have called us to be. We are new creatures. We aren't the status quo. And we aren't just Joe Blows. But we are something different. We have a power that's beyond this world. Father, we thank You, Father. And Lord, it's our desire to walk out Your will in this world. And to be the witness and the light that You've called us to be. Father, I thank You, Lord, that people in the body of Christ are stepping out in boldness for You and for Your Word, and they're not compromising anymore. It's not our will to compromise with the world. It's our will to stand firm in the truth and in Your will. Father, I thank You that Your anointing is getting stronger as we start to take stronger stands for You. Father, I thank You that Your power will be manifest as we love You, Father. And I thank You, Lord, that not only do we love You, but You love us. And I thank You, Father, that today we are righteous. Father, that we don't have to work and impress You to become righteous. You've made us righteous. Our debt is clear, not because we paid it off, but because Your blood paid for it all. So we stop working to impress You, who will never be impressed with our righteousness, which is as filthy rags. But Lord, we accept Your righteousness and Your holiness. And Father, we thank You, Father. And Lord, I just pray that this revelation would begin to soak deeply in our hearts. And I thank You, Father, that Your people are stepping out in faith. Lead us and guide us into Your will, even this week, Father, that we wouldn't just go out in the world like normal, but we would go out with the mission, knowing who we are in You, to make a difference, Father. I thank You in Jesus' name. Lord, bless the people. Encourage them, Father, in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You.